Go ahead.
Oh, I can start talking.
Yes,
now?
You can start.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm kind of glad that I have really bad jet lag right now. I just arrived from the Philippines yesterday at 2:30 in the afternoon. So 24 hours, but I was on an airplane for 17 of those hours. From the Philippines to Hong Kong, Hong Kong to London, London to Zurich. So, well, when you have jet lag, sometimes your eyes, you know, they can be looking different directions. So I can just stare this direction, and my eyes on their own will be looking at you. Yeah. So if I fall asleep, please wake me up before you leave.
Okay,
but
you're waking me before the school.
No, I'm really happy to be with all of you, and I realize I haven't visited this church for about 5 years. And so I'm just happy to be back, and I'm already smelling the spaghetti. you know, I noticed that we're not standing behind a podium or anything. Did you hear what happened in Colombia?
Yes.
Is that why we're not standing?
No, I don't know. I didn't hear anything myself. So.
Because I have to tell you what happened in Colombia. I thought you've taken the pulpit away from me. Because this year I was in Colombia speaking to a bunch of pastors. And I was standing behind this very nice glass lectern. This glass. And it was about this thick, the glass top, nice and big, so you could spread your notes out. And I like having a little bit of fun, you know, when you preach. When I was a little kid attending church, I thought there should be a law against boring preachers. I thought they should be thrown in jail. Yeah. So I'm always worried that the boredom police are going to come and drag me out of the room. So I like to have a little bit of fun while we're preaching. And the pastors in Colombia do not have that same feeling. You know, praise the Lord and hallelujah. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, hallelujah. And this was my first time in Colombia, and they thought I was going to be a typical American preacher. They thought I was going to start yelling. They thought I would be like one of these TV preacher people. So I thought it would be fun if I imitated these kind of preachers for just a little while. So there I am behind this beautiful glass lectern, and I had a little notepad next to my Bible. And sometimes my hands move. And I thought I was a preacher. My hand went up. And my hand came down. Like this. And the whole glass lectern shattered. I literally broke it in half. This half is here. Glass is everywhere. My hand is still here. I didn't know what to do. I mean, you know, I'm pretty spontaneous, but my mind just went blank. I thought, what are you supposed to do when you've just broken the lectern? So I think I just stayed there for about 1 minute. Everyone in the room was... So I looked over at the pastor whose lectern I had just broken. And I took my hand away and said, sorry. So I've got this half a lectern, glass everywhere, and I just kept preaching. I didn't know it was a special glass lectern. Because every week they brought it out of a room, they carried it, sprayed it, polished it. It was a holy lectern. And I shattered that puppy. So I thought you'd heard the story, and that's why you've taken the glass away from me. My hand is looking for something to hang
down.
So I think I better get a license for this. Deadly weapon. Or keep it in my pocket. You know, really funny things can happen sometimes when you're serving God.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was in the Philippines with a group of about 450 leaders and pastors from all over Asia.
Und wir in den Philippinen mit 450 Leuten von überall aus Asien.
And it was very special just to talk to people about the things of God. I really like doing it very much.
Und es war speziell, mit den Leuten zu reden über das, was der Herr tut, und ich mache das extrem gerne.
So thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk to you this morning. And I was thinking about a few different passages in the Bible that all have the same theme to them. And I feel very confirmed about this subject because I was asked earlier if these chairs over here are reserved for special people.
Und ich fühle mich bestätigt, weil ich gefragt habe, die Stühle dann für spezielle Leute reserviert sind.
And I quickly looked around the room and I said, I don't think there's anyone special here.
Und ich dachte, es ist niemand Spezielles da.
And they said, oh, you are special.
Du bist speziell.
No. I'm a nobody.
Ich bin ein Niemand.
And they kind of, well, I'm a nobody too. Well, I was a nobody first. No.
Maybe it is nobody too.
Because, you see, in the kingdom of God, really, everybody's a nobody. There's nobody who's a somebody. Only Jesus. But because we think that there are somebodies, and we're just nobodies, we're hoping that somebody is going to do something. And we're very comfortable just to wait until somebody shows up. You know, somebody else is going to do things. And the nobody me isn't. And we even think that we're being kind of spiritual when we identify ourselves as a nobody. And I would say, biblically, you're accurate. You are a nobody. That's what I traveled all this way to tell you. Can we have spaghetti now? Yeah. What was the message? What was he saying? I think he was saying we're nobodies. Now, it's funny. Even though we know that about ourselves, I'm just a nobody. If somebody calls you a nobody, you want to fight him. You're kind of insulted if somebody says you're a nobody. But really, in the kingdom, that's all we have to be, is just a nobody. And I don't know about you, I do nobody very well.
Und ich weiß, ich bin sehr gut a nobody.
I come by it very naturally.
Und es passiert sehr natürlich bei mir.
I can be nobody really easily.
Und ich kann ganz einfach a nobody sein.
I don't have to wake up in the morning saying, come on, come on, you can do it, you can do it, be a nobody. I don't look in the mirror each morning saying, remember now, be a nobody. You too? Or is it pretty easy for you to be a nobody? But, oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean nobody the way the world makes you feel. Because, see, the world makes you feel you're a nobody, you dog. You feel dismissed, you feel overlooked, you feel worthless.
Du fühlst dich übersehen, weggestellt, wertlos.
And that's why something inside of our soul tries to scratch up and identify itself as being a somebody.
Und darum versucht etwas in unserer Seele aufzuschleppen und irgendwie zu zeigen, dass wir gleich jemand sind.
But it's really easier to be a nobody.
Aber es ist einfacher, eigentlich ein nobody zu sein.
Now, the point that I want to make, aside from that, everybody got that? You want to tell your friend you're a nobody? That's the bad news of the morning. We just kind of dispensed with that. We got that out of the way. And now it's all good news from here. But if you really can't accept that you're a nobody, you can't really be that used by God. But in our natural thinking, we have it backwards. We think that we need to be somebody before God can really use us. And actually, he has to convince some people first to be a nobody before he can use them. So if you've already decided that you aren't that special, God is already ahead of the game when it comes to you and using you. I'm not saying you're not special. I'm not saying you're not unique. Because the Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made.
That
when God was weaving you together in your mother's womb, he made you like nobody else. So in his eyes, you're unique. But he doesn't think of one person being somebody and everybody else being nobodies.
Und wir denken nicht, die einzelne Person ist irgendjemand und alle anderen sind nobodies.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain this, but hopefully as we move along you will get it. All right. So in the natural, people believe that I've got to be a somebody important before God can use me.
In natürlicher Welt denken wir immer wieder, dass wir irgendjemand müssen sein, der eine gewisse Wichtigkeit erreicht hat.
And when we look at other people that God is using, it's very tempting to conclude that they're a somebody.
Wenn man umschaut und andere Menschen sieht, die der Herr braucht, dann versuche ich enorm nachzudenken, dass man plötzlich denkt, das ist jemand.
So I want to look at three simple Bible passages to try to make a very special point this morning.
Und wir drei einfache Bibelstellen anschauen, um einen ganz speziellen Punkt zu machen heute Morgen.
So, if I fall asleep before I've gone three passages, please wake me up and I'll finish, okay?
Und wenn ich schlafe, bevor ich die drei Bibelstellen gelesen habe, wecke mich auf, dann mache ich dann noch fertig.
So, the first one is found in the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 1, verses 19 through 24.
Erster Abschnitt ist Johannes 1, 19 bis 24.
Yeah, and it's a very simple story, so even if you don't have a Bible, you'll still be able to hang on to it, I think. And it's talking about a man named John the Baptist. And John was the guy that introduced everybody to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead and read this about John.
Okay, jetzt vorlesen. Ich weiß einfach, Johannes 1, 19, folgende. Und dies ist das Zeugnis des Johannes, als Juden zu ihm sandten, Priester und Leviten von Jerusalem, dass sie ihn fragten, wer bist du? Und er bekannte und leugnete nicht, und er bekannte, ich bin nicht der Christus. Und sie fragten, was bist du dann? Bist du Elia? Er sprach, ich bin's nicht. Bist du der Prophet? Und er antwortete, nein. Da sprachen sie zu ihm, wer bist du dann? Dass wir Antwort geben denen, die uns gesandt haben. Was sagst du von dir selbst? Er sprach, ich bin eine Stimme eines Predigers in der Wüste, eben den Weg des Herrn, wie der Prophet Jesaja gesagt hat. Und sie waren von den Pharisäern abgesandt.
Okay. Now, remember, John is the man who's going to say to all the world, this is Jesus who takes away the sins of the world.
Und dann Johannes, der Teufel stärkt sich in der ganzen Welt, das ist Jesus. Und Sünde wird weg auf der ganzen Welt.
And Jesus will say about him that he is a greater prophet than any of the prophets who ever lived.
Und Jesus wird über ihn eine Aussage machen, wo er sagt, dass er der größte Prophet ist als jeden anderen Prophet, der je gelebt hat vorher.
He is like the most spiritual person we meet up until this point in the Bible.
Und er ist die geistlichste Person, die wir treffen in der Bibel bis zu diesem Zeitpunkt.
And it's very interesting to me that the Pharisees, the religious people, came to John and said, okay, who are you?
Das ist ganz typisch, dass ein Pharisäer kommt und sagt, wer bist du jetzt da?
Or in our language, it would be more like, who do you think you are saying these things?
Oder wer glaubst du eigentlich, wer du bist? Dass du das sagst.
Okay, look. Are you the Messiah?
Bist du der Messias?
He's like, nope. Are you Elijah?
Bist du der Elia? Nee.
Are you a prophet?
Bist du ein Prophet?
Nope. And they kind of run out of ideas of who he might be. Well, who are you?
Und irgendwie gehen die Ideen aus, zu finden, wer ich sein.
Who gave you permission to start talking like this?
Und wer hat dir die Erlaubnis gegeben, so zu predigen?
If you don't have a title, if you don't have a position, if you're not somebody important,
wenn du nicht den Titel hast oder eine Position erbrichtet bist, warum?
And he just says, I'm nobody.
Ich bin niemand eigentlich.
I'm just wind in the wilderness.
Ich bin Wind in der Wüste.
I'm just a guy crying out from the desert about the things of God. And you can tell these religious people are really frustrated and they say, well, but we need an answer that we can take back to the religious people to tell them who you are.
Und sie sind richtig frustriert, weil sie mir müssen eine Antwort haben, damit wir unseren religiösen Leuten und uns geschichtlich können Antwort geben.
In other words, what are your credentials?
Was sind deine Auszeichnungen?
What are your qualifications for saying these things?
Was hast du für Ausbildungen gemacht?
Because religion insists that you have to have a position or be somebody before you can talk.
Weil die Religion besteht darauf, dass du jemand bist oder eine Stellung hast, bevor du überhaupt kannst reden.
But not Jesus.
Aber nicht Jesus.
See, the Lord picks somebody who is a nobody to introduce Christ.
Und der Herr hat jemanden genommen, der nobody ist, um Jesus Christus vorzustellen auf dieser Welt.
But you know how you think. You think, well, I don't know enough. I'm not qualified enough. I'm not special enough.
Aber jetzt genau, du denkst, ich weiß nicht genug, ich bin nicht speziell genug und ich weiß auch nicht genug.
And I promise you this, it is never the Spirit of God that tells you, shh, you don't have enough qualifications. It's never the Spirit of God that says, who do you think you are? No, religion will say that to you, but not Jesus. So this is kind of my hero. I'm just noise in the wilderness. I don't have to have any specialness about myself. I just have to talk the things of God. Because it is the words about God that make all the difference, not the person who speaks them. It's very interesting. Do you know that there's another guy, Paul, that we're going to meet in a little bit, and Sorry about this sentence, it's kind of jet-lagged.
Okay, that's okay.
The point of the sentence, I'm sure, will come at any moment.
Okay, good. Mensch, wenn ich einen jet-lagged Satz weiß, ich habe ihn aufhört, aber er liegt nicht mehr so. Und wir werden mal einen anderen Mann treffen, den Paulus, und zwar nächstens, wenn wir da weitergehen.
Okay, let me start over. There were people who were proclaiming the message of Christ, but they were doing it in order to get rich. They didn't even believe it in their own heart. But they saw the way that it had impact and the way that it drew people, so they didn't believe it, but they spoke it. And this man Paul, who was a really mighty man of God, he says, I don't care if they don't even believe it. Because the message itself has a power that doesn't depend on the person who speaks it. Does this make sense? It doesn't matter who the messenger is. Because the message is the power of God, not the messenger. And that's what John understood. I'm nothing special. But I am speaking words, and that's why you think I am.
Aber ich spreche Sachen aus, und darum denkst du, ich sei etwas Spezielles.
Because these religious people said, man, Allah, he must be somebody.
Und die religiösen Leute haben gedacht, er muss etwas sein.
I mean, listen to the guy. He must be special.
Was zu dem, was du sagst, er muss speziell sein.
Okay, so explain this specialness that you have. Tell us who you really are.
Und erzähl uns deine Spezialität. Wer bist du wirklich, oder?
I mean, you're not just a normal person.
Du bist nicht einfach eine normale Person.
Because the words coming out of your mouth are too powerful.
Weil die Worte aus deinem Mund kommen, sind viel zu stark für das.
And he says, oh yes I am.
Ich bin ganz normaler.
I'm just the nobody.
Ich bin einfach ein Niemand.
I'm just a voice in the wilderness.
Ich bin einfach eine Stimme in der Wüste.
Do we ask questions or do I keep talking?
You can ask questions if you want.
Well, I mean, no, do they want to ask questions?
Oh, okay, I don't know.
Anybody? I have this skill to just keep talking almost forever. So sometimes you have to interrupt me. Okay, I want to go to another passage in 2 Corinthians. So this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to read, if we can, verses 12 through 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 12 through 15.
2. Korinther 5, 12 bis 15. Damit empfehlen wir uns nicht abermals bei euch, sondern geben euch Anlass, euch unser zu rühmen, damit ihr antworten könnt denen, die sich des Äußeren rühmen und nicht des Herzens. Denn wenn wir außer uns waren, so war es für Gott, sind wir aber besonders und sind wir es für euch. Denn die Liebe Christi drängt uns, zumal wir überzeugt sind, dass, wenn einer für alle gestorben ist, so sind alle gestorben. Und es ist darum für alle gestorben, damit sie da leben, hinfort nicht sich selbst leben, sondern dem, der für sie gestorben und auferstanden ist. Der 15.
Okay. Okay. Now, I have to give you a little history lesson, but it will pass quickly. It won't be boring.
Deine Geschichtsunterricht, sie ist einfach nicht langweilig geworden.
Paul spent a lot of time with his friends in the city of Corinth. Most of the places where he went, he didn't stay very long. But with these people, he stayed like a year and a half. And they were people that he really loved. He really, really cared about them. He wanted to teach them, so he stayed there a long time. And these two letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, are very vulnerable.
Sehr, sehr verletzliche Letter.
And they're the most personal of all the letters that Paul will write to all his friends. So he had a special relationship with the Corinthians. But it's very interesting. When he first went to Corinth, he didn't go there thinking, I'm a mighty man of power, hallelujah, I'm going to Corinth.
No.
He specifically says that when I came to you, I came with a lot of nervousness and a lot of fear. When I first came, I didn't come to conquer the world. I was trembling inside. He was afraid. And he thought, my only hope is to only talk about Jesus, because on my own, I don't know what to say or do. He says, I know what you Corinthians are like. You're really smart. You get all into philosophy, and I can't come to you, you know, on that basis.
Und ich kenne euch Korinther, sie sind wirklich so richtig philosophisch, denkerisch orientiert, und ich kann nicht auf deren Ebene zu euch kommen.
He was afraid.
Und er hat Angst gehabt.
And the other thing that we know about him is, he always felt like he was the worst person alive.
Und er hat immer das Gefühl, dass ich der letzte Mensch auf deren Erde.
He had done a lot of bad things.
Er hat einen Haufen Dummheiten gemacht.
And even though he knew that he was forgiven,
und ob schon er gewusst, dass er mich vergeist,
he never forgot that he was forgiven. And there's a real difference between knowing I'm forgiven and thinking I'm good. He did not think, oh, you know, I think I am a good, I am good, yes, I'm a good person. He never thought that. He always realized, oh God, thank you for forgiving me for my past. In fact, he was convinced that he was the worst sinner that ever lived. He didn't walk around thinking, well, you know, compared to other people, I'm not a bad person. At least I've never done that. He didn't, you know, kind of dust himself off and feel pretty comfortable with himself.
No,
he never got over the grace of God that he had experienced. I am a very, very bad man who's been forgiven. And I don't have a lot of confidence. And that's the way that he came to Corinth. But when you see what he did and you read about it all, you think, wow, what an amazing guy. And you know, that's how you'll always think about people that are used by God. You will be tempted to think they have something that you don't have. You'll be tempted to think that they're special in a way that you're not. And this is one of the greatest secrets in the kingdom of God. Nobody is a somebody. I mean, so maybe you look at a pulpit breaking preacher and you think, wow, that's pretty impressive. But really, I could have tried banging on that pulpit 1,000 times and never did it just right to break it. I'm not a guy that was in the back room praying, saying, okay, Lord, let's use my special pulpit breaking. You know, I'm not thinking, okay, we're getting close to the good part now, because here I come. No. when we get used by God, no one is more surprised than us.
Wenn wir vom Herrn gebraucht werden, ist niemand mehr überrascht als mich selber.
We're just nobodies.
Wir sind niemand.
And Paul, in writing the second letter, is writing to a group of people who have betrayed him.
Und im zweiten Brief an Korinther schreibt er an eine Gruppe von Leuten, die betrogen haben.
Because the way that he was with them for that year and a half, he was very gentle and, you know, nervous, afraid. And he totally was changing these people's lives. Then he leaves and another group of leaders comes.
Und er hat das Leben von einem Menschen verändert, ist weggegangen, ist eine andere Gruppe von Leitern gekommen.
And these leaders are mighty men of God.
So richtige mächtige Männer Gottes.
They are apostles.
Sie Aposteln.
And they act really special and they trash all the people underneath them.
Und sie verhalten sich speziell und unterdrücken alle unterdrücken.
And the Corinthians, who didn't understand we're all nobodies, they thought that these apostles were somebodies.
Und die Korinther haben nicht verstanden, dass es alle nobodies sind. Hey, plötzlich denken die Apostel, sind wirklich spezielle Leute.
And so they let themselves be kind of spiritually almost, I don't know, abused almost.
Und sie haben sich geistlich missbrauchen von diesen Leuten. Sie sind missbraucht worden.
Because you're a somebody. And we're nobodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul is kind of forgotten. And now Paul is writing a letter saying, well, I know you've kind of forgotten me, so I'll tell you just a little bit more about myself. And that's a whole long story in itself. But he says, well, I'm going to try to give you some things to hang on to for people who take pride in appearance rather than in substance.
Und ich gebe noch etwas, was ihr heute festhalten zum Unterscheiden zwischen Menschen, die versuchen, mit Darstellung etwas zu machen, also mit der inneren Substanz, die sie haben.
And you'll realize in the kingdom of God there's a difference between what looks spiritual and what really is.
Und dass du wirklich wusstest, dass es ein grosser Unterschied zwischen dem ist, was geistlich aussieht und was wirklich geistlich.
And in so many words Paul says, ooh, I'm so sorry, I've only really been spiritual to you. I should have been a little bit more, you know, on the surface, looking spiritual. Many years ago,
1977,
before some of you were born, but if you weren't born, I don't want you to tell me that you weren't
born. I was
teaching at a Bible college. I had never gone to a Bible college, but I was teaching at one. Kind of a long story, but I was teaching people how to write and how to talk. But I wasn't allowed to teach them any theology because I didn't have a degree, a theological degree. You know, it kind of ticked me off. I mean, in a Christian sort of way. Remember, the academic dean of this school said, you will never, never teach a theological course at this institution.
I'm like,
okay.
Okay,
so I thought I would be a subversive. That's what I always think. I think that's just what I am, all the time, every way, be a subversive.
So
I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna show these Bible college students that you don't have to have a degree in order to be a kingdom person.
See,
I was trying to be a somebody. So I'm trying to be somebody. And I read this verse, and God asks me a very simple question. He says, do you want to really be spiritual or do you want to appear spiritual? You can't be both.
Ah. Okay.
So I said, okay, Lord, I'll be really spiritual. And you know how God can say so much in just the briefest moment? You know, and just like this, he says so much. Preachers take this long to say so little, but that's... So, in so many words, the Lord said to me, okay, I don't want you to say anything that seems spiritual from now on. I want you just to stay quiet so that these Bible college students will almost think that you've backslid.
Und dass du wirklich irgendwie still bist, dass die Bibelstudenten denken, dass du einen Rückfall gehabt hast.
I mean, don't use bad language, he said, but don't say anything spiritual.
Nicht fluchen, das nicht. Aber brauch nicht in so hochfromme Ausdrücke.
So for the next year and a half, I never said anything kingdom related to these Bible college students.
Und anderthalb Jahre lang nicht etwas gesagt zu den Studenten, die irgendwie die Bibelstudenten haben.
And finally, this one gal that didn't know me before she went to the Bible school, she told me that she wasn't going to take one of the courses that I was teaching. I'm like, okay, why? I asked her. And she says, well, to be honest, I've just never seen anything spiritual about you. And I think it would be a waste of a time to be in your class. And I said, okay.
Okay.
So I hung up the phone, and just then the Lord said, well done. Your season is finished. I really have made you spiritual inside. Very interesting. I think all these years later, one of the reasons that my words have a little punch to them is because I chose to be a nobody rather than trying to appear to be a somebody. And I've never changed my thinking about myself from those days. I don't think of myself as a very spiritual person. But if you really are, you really are.
Oh, wenn du bist, du bist.
And you don't have to be a somebody. You just have to be a nobody. Well, he kind of finishes this little passage by saying, remember, since Christ died for us, now we're supposed to live for him and not for ourselves. Okay, so now I want to be careful what I say in my jet-lagged condition. Yes. Now, I know this will offend you just a little bit. Just a little bit. Do you know that trying to be a somebody is really very, very selfish? And Christians who think that they have to be a somebody before they do anything are not humble, they're selfish. I hope this is making sense.
It does. Go ahead.
See, we think, oh, I'm just humble because I'm nobody special. But finish the sentence. Finish what's really in your mind. Or I'll do it for you.
Okay.
Oh, I'm just a nobody. I'm nobody special.
Ik ben niemand speciaal.
And because of that, I don't have to do anything. You see, I have this marvelous excuse. Of course, I would love to serve. I would love to do more for God. But. Sorry, I'm just a nobody.
Ik wil graag meer voor hem hertoe. Ik wil graag hier dienen of hier helpen. Maar het doet me leid. Ik ben gelukkig. Ik ben een nobody.
Oh, that's so convenient, isn't it?
Het is zo einfach.
Nothing can be expected of me because I'm just a praise the Lord nobody. And we all know that it's only somebodies that get called by God, not nobodies. So I'm happy to be here and even think you're a somebody. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a somebody. Because as long as I think you're special, I don't have to do what you're doing. Paul says, wait. How many people did Christ die for?
Für wie viele Menschen ist Jesus gestorben?
He died for everybody.
Er ist für alle gestorben.
That nobody should live for themselves any longer.
Dass niemand mehr für sich selber leben soll.
See, if Christ died for you,
wenn Jesus Christus für dich gestorben ist,
then you live for him.
Dann lebst du für ihn.
There's nothing in this about some people being more special than others.
Und da gibt's nichts Spezielles drin, dass gewisse Leute spezieller wären.
There aren't two categories of Christian.
Es gibt nicht zwei Kategorien von Christen.
I mean, yes, Jesus died for all of us, but I'm in the lower half of those he died for. I'm the nobody section. I'm in the nobody bleachers, the stadium, the seats in the stadium. I'm in the nobody section. So I will cheer for those people down on the field. And it doesn't work that way. If Christ died for you, you now live the rest of your life for everybody else.
Wenn Jesus Christus für dich gestorben ist, dann lebst du für den Rest von deinem Leben für alle anderen.
It's all really about serving.
Es geht einfach ums Dienen.
Okay, one last brief passage.
Noch ein letzter Abschnitt.
Well, the passage is brief. My comments may not be.
Der Abschnitt ist viel kurz und meine Kommentare sind nicht ganz.
No, I can smell that spaghetti, so I have real incentive to finish. So we're going to go over to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say this is one of my very most favorite passages in the Bible. Yeah, so from verses 11 through 15, but let's take it just... Well, read it all.
Also, 2. Korinther 12, 11 bis 15. Ich bin ein Narr geworden, dazu habt ihr mich gezwungen, denn ich sollte von euch gelobt werden, da ich doch nicht weniger bin als die Überapostel, obwohl ich nichts bin. Denn es sind ja die Zeichen eines Apostels unter euch geschehen, in aller Geduld, mit Zeichen und mit Wundern und mit Taten. Was ist, so wenn ihr zu kurz gekommen seid gegenüber den anderen Gemeinden, außer, dass ich euch nicht zur Last gefallen bin? Vergebt mir dieses Unrecht. Sieh, ich bin jetzt bereit, zum dritten Mal zu euch zu kommen und will euch nicht zur Last fallen, denn ich suche nicht das Eure, sondern euch. Denn es sollen nicht die Kinder der Eltern Schätze sammeln, sondern die Eltern der Kinder. Ich will aber gern hingeben und hingegeben werden für eure Seelen. Wenn ich euch mehr liebe, soll ich darum um weniger geliebt werden?
Well, this comes right on the heels of him explaining how he's going to boast about his weakness.
Und das ist genau im Anschluss an den Abschnitt, wo er über seine Schwäche prahlt.
Because the way that it works, when I'm weak, he's strong.
Weil es funktioniert, wenn ich schwach bin, ist er stark.
When I'm a nobody, that means he's really a somebody.
Und wenn ich ein nobody bin, ist der Herr wirklich jemand.
And he says, I'm gonna just tell you straight that even though I'm a nobody, I am not inferior to these eminent apostles.
Und wenn ich, ob schon ich Nobody bin, ich definitiv nicht weniger wert als die Überapostel, die sich da bei euch groß gemacht haben.
Because there were these leaders that came and acted really big.
Weil wirklich Leute auch gross da haben.
And I love this statement, even though I'm a nobody, I'm actually more spiritual than these guys. Can you be a nobody?
Kannst du a nobody sein?
I can.
Ich kann.
Some people actually have a hard time
being a nobody.
They're kind of like a cork of pride, and you try to sink them, and boom, they just come back up to the top. But most people can do nobody fairly well. And so Paul explains, how does a nobody minister? He says, it's kind of like being a parent. When you're a parent, you don't have your kids save up for you. Your job is to take care of them. Now, of course, when you get older and they have a job, I don't mind being taken care of a little bit. But in the beginning, when you have children... You know, you really don't have a baby and say, you know... Oh, life is pretty hard. I know, let's have a kid and I can have somebody take care of me. I got news for you. They don't help you very much. You think you're tired now. Wait till that little midget comes out and your job really begins. So I have, Pamela and I have 4 children and 3 of them are married, so we have 7 kids. And 6 grandkids, can you believe it? And we got 2 more coming at the end of this next month. One, yeah. Both Hillary and Jenny are due 2 days apart.
It's amazing. Es ist meine Tochter, also meine Schwiegertochter, beide Termin 2 Tage auseinander Ende der Monate.
But Hillary, that's our oldest daughter. I'll never forget what Pamela said just after she was born.
Und Hillary ist die älteste und ich werde nie vergessen, was Pamela gesagt hat, als sie geboren war.
You know, my eyes are still like I. The little head pops out. So I wasn't really all there. I'm just. And when they put Hillary on Pamela's tummy, Pamela said, oh, I'm going to be her mother her whole life.
Und wo sie nicht Hillary vom Buch gelegt hat, von Pamela, hat sie gesagt, ich will ihr das Leben lang ihre Mutter sein.
I'm thinking, yeah. But okay. When you're a parent, you know how it works. You just instinctively are going to take care of this child. They're not going to take care of you. And I know in a setting like this that there are many disappointments in life. I know that. Many sad things that happen.
Und ich weiß auch, dass es sonst immer wieder Enttäuschung und schwierige Situationen gibt.
And it doesn't always work out that a birth parent ends up raising a child. So I'm not trying to make anybody feel awkward.
Okay. Und es gibt immer Situationen, wo jemand das Kind verletzt hat, nicht selber so groß ziehen, also nie mehr irgendwie da auf die Füße schalten.
But I think everybody understands kind of how it's supposed to work.
Aber ich glaube, jeder weiß, wie das eigentlich geplant wäre.
That a parent who gives birth knows they're supposed to take care of this child. Wouldn't it be odd for parents to give birth and then to decide, oh, but well, we're just nobodies. We're not very famous, so sorry, kid.
Wäre nicht irgendwie schräg, wenn man als Eltern würde sagen, als Kind, oh, wir sind nicht wirklich berühmt und wir sind echt nobody. Tut mir leid,
hey, I hope you're more special than we are. Good luck and we'll see you.
Ich hoffe, du bist spezieller als wir und viel Glück. Man sieht dich irgendwann.
We don't have categories of parent.
Wir haben nicht in die Abstufungen von Eltern sein.
Parents who are somebodies and parents who are nobodies.
Eltern, die etwas sind und jemand, die niemand sind.
It doesn't have anything to do with caring for your child. Does that make sense?
Es hat überhaupt nichts zu tun, mit ob du im Dienst deine Kinder nimmst oder nicht.
You can be the boss at work or you can be the lowest paid position at work, but you're still a parent to your kids.
Du kannst CEO sein oder du kannst wirklich einfach der sein, wo im Lager noch etwas zusammenräumt und du beide sind einfach Väter
und
Mütter.
That's what Paul is trying to explain.
Das wollte Paulus erklären.
That ministry is not motivated by the fact that I finally arrived and now I've become a somebody.
Und der Dienst Gottes ist nicht motiviert durch das, dass du endlich in das Ziel kommst und endlich jemand bist.
Ministry is just what we do because we have that sort of obligation to take care of others.
Und Dienst ist einfach das, wo unsere Verpflichtung ist, sich um andere zu kümmern.
And so he says, I will gladly spend and be expended for your soul.
Und ich tue gern für euch gehen und auch weggehen werden, damit ihr euch seht.
I am happy to have my life poured out to serve you.
Und ich bin glücklich, wenn mein Leben in euch ausgossen wird, wenn ich euch diene.
And I close with this last observation. I mean, the first observation that I've taken forever to make is that you're a nobody, but never mind, you still are supposed to serve.
Die erste Beobachtung gemacht hat, ist, du bist ja niemand, du gleich sollst dienen.
But this other point is very brief.
Zwei Punkte, ist deutlich kürzer.
He says, I will gladly be spent for you.
Und er sagt, ich werde gern für euch hergeben.
And I have pastored for many years, which is how I got the gray hair.
Und ich habe Pastor für manche Jahre, und darum habe ich die grauen Haare, und ich habe gesagt.
Well, that, and I went to a new barber, and they cut off all the dark stuff. So I gotta get a new barber. Cutting off the dark hair. And I get to travel all over the world. And I observe this everywhere I go. Christians who really give themselves and just serve and just go for it are really happy.
Christen, die sich weggeben und wirklich einfach anderen dienen und vorwärts gehen, sind wirklich zufrieden.
And Christians who don't aren't very happy.
Und die, die es nicht machen, sind nicht wirklich glücklich.
You know, Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it.
Jesus hat gesagt, wenn du dein Leben willst retten, wirst du verlieren.
He put it another way. If, you see, when you and I have been given things from God, kingdom things,
wenn wir königliche Sachen vom Herrn bekommen haben,
and we don't do anything with what we've been given.
Und wir nicht machen mit dem, was es gibt.
You know, we just keep listening and learning. Oh, praise the Lord, good sermon, Pastor. Oh, yeah.
Wenn wir zulassen und ab und zu dem Pastor sagen, dass er gut predigt hat.
If we're just taking in, Jesus says, here's what happens.
Wenn du nur aufnimmst, dann passiert Folgendes, sagt Jesus.
The little bit that you think you have actually will be taken away from you.
Und das Wenige, was du hast, wird gestohlen werden.
But if we do something with what's been given to us, he says, even more will be added into your life. The more that you serve, the more spiritual life and vitality you get.
Je mehr du dienst, desto mehr wirst du geistliches Leben und Lebenswasser bekommen.
The less you serve, the smaller and smaller you get. I just want to encourage you, even though you're a nobody, go for it. I'll always be a nobody, but to many other people, I'm like a somebody. But if I were trying to be a somebody or to protect myself, then to everyone else, I would become a nobody.
Aber wenn ich versuche, irgendwie jemanden zu sein und mir das versuche zu schützen, dann werde ich für alle anderen nichts wert sein.
Empty yourself and God fills you up.
Lade dich aus in andere und der Herr wird dich wieder auffüllen.
Give yourself away and you get so much of yourself back.
Gib dich selber weg und der Herr wird so viel zurückgeben.
So, all the nobodies in the room, let's raise our hand.
we ought to know about the mortality plot.
Isn't that great?
That's doch gut so.
You can go for it.
Amen.
Amen.